This is at L6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, with the official broadcast for August 2011. Tonight, presidential comment, headquarters news, and on the international scene.
Arisat 1 continues to amaze ham radio, but its battery is growing weaker as the days pass. Also, Heathkit says that it plans to return to the kit supply business.
That and more on tonight's NZART official broadcast. Good evening, everyone. Presenting the broadcast, I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF. Presidential comments first up tonight from New Plymouth. Here's our president, Roy Simon, ZL2KH. Roy?
Thank you, Jim, and good evening, listeners. The recent casual vacancy for a Midlands District Councillor has been filled. Two members made themselves available for the position, and I thank them both for doing this. Council held a secret ballot by email, and the successful candidate was Stuart Watchman, ZL2TW. Welcome back to Council, Stuart. Subscription renewal notices were distributed with the last issue of Break-In. Predictably, these notices sparked the usual comments on reflectors that the subscription was too high. It cost a certain sum for NZART to undertake the work it does for the good of the hobby. One way to keep the subscription at the present rate, or even to lower it, is to increase the number of members. Under $2 a week is not expensive when it comes to protecting the spectrum we enjoy, receiving 6 copies per year of Break-In, and receiving a copy of the call book. It costs $165 a year to subscribe to the New Zealand Listener or the New Zealand Woman's Weekly. This should help to put our subscription of $95 into perspective. Well, that's my presidential bit for this month. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Roy, the president of NZART, Roy Simon, ZL2KH. On the official broadcast tonight, congratulations go to Bob Macquarie, ZL3TY of Greymouth, who a week or so ago received confirmation of achieving his 2 metres DXCC. This is a first for ZL, Oceania, and possibly the Southern Hemisphere. All but one of ZL3TY's QSOs was made by EME Moonbounce, the exception being a meteor scatter QSO with VK0MT on Macquarie Island. Bob's first 2 metres EME QSO was with W5UN on the 16th of June in 2002. Other interesting statistics from the ZL3TY log indicate 1,214 EME QSOs with 653 individual stations worked. Look for full details of Bob's mode of operation and equipment details in the VHF scene in a future issue of Break-In. Also, it's welcome tonight to those listening to this official broadcast via the national system, new extension into Mercury Bay. The repeater, located at Opito on the extreme eastern end of the Opito Peninsula, has an anticipated coverage from Cape Colville in the north to around Ferritoa in the south. The repeater operates on 434.8 MHz with a positive split. Congratulations to all involved with the Mercury Bay Extension equipment setup and, of course, the installation. Now, you may have heard of the hugely successful Westfest held in Murchison last year. Well, this year it's Eastfest, to be held in Ashburton in just 2 weeks' time, on Saturday the 10th and Sunday the 11th of September. The venue is the Ashburton Senior Centre, 206 Cameron Street in Ashburton. There'll be many talks and demonstrations of hands-on ham radio. The organisers will be providing morning and afternoon refreshments, but not lunch or evening meals. No registrations, just let Jim Nelson, jim.nelson@extra.co.nz, or Tony Buckland, buckland@scorch.co.nz, know that you're coming, so they can have an idea of the numbers. The cost for the weekend will be just $10. And now to Upper Hutt we go, and it's a very good evening to NZART's business manager, Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. Further to the message from the President regarding the 2012 subscriptions, I would like to remind you that while no rebate is being offered for next year's subscription, please remember that the monthly payment option of $8 a month is available for anyone who is feeling the economic pinch, as many of us are. Please contact me for details on how you can set this up. I have received the following request from the Son of a Silent Key. Hopefully someone in New Zealand will be able to help. If so, please contact me for Dave's details. The request is, my father was an avid ham operator in the late 40s and 50s. We lived on Waiheke Island in Auckland until he was drowned in a boating accident in 1957. His call sign was ZL1MG, that's ZL1 Mike Golf. I remember he had a lot of call cards from other operators, and he sent out a few as well. I was wondering if any of your members would happen to have one of his original cards and be willing to send a copy or be willing to sell it. Please remember to get back to me for Dave's details. And finally, the online call lists via NZART webpage. The acting NZART webmaster, Alan Wallace, and call book compiler, Lorne Douglas, have removed the call sign lists from the NZART webpage, as it has become outdated. Radio Spectrum have advised we will be offered a more up-to-date listing in the near future. Please watch HQ InfoLine and the NZART webpage for more details. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Debbie. Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL, NZART's Business Manager. The Manawatū Radio Society Branch 20's annual table sale is to be held on Saturday the 1st of October at the Longburn Hall, State Highway 56, Longburn. The start time is 8 a.m. for vendors only, with a 9 a.m. start time for the public. Table prices are $20 full size and $10 half size. That's if you register before the 17th of September. An additional $5 after that date. Register with the secretary, P.O. Box 1718 Palmerston North, or visit the Manawatū Radio Society webpage. Refreshments will be available and prize draws and raffles throughout the day. That's the Manawatū Radio Society's annual table sale on Saturday the 1st of October. Looking now to amateur radio news on the international scene, and for an update, we join the amateur radio newsline.
According to several reports, Arisat 1 has been switching into the low-duty cycle mode, this even while in complete sunlight. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bruce Tennant, K6PZW, has the latest.
When Arisat 1 is in darkness, in order to conserve battery power, it switches into a mode where it transmits for 40 seconds and then shuts down for 2 minutes. However, on Thursday, August 11th and Friday the 12th, a number of hams began reporting that Arisat 1 was in low-duty cycle mode when the satellite appeared to be fully illuminated by the sun. Now comes a probable explanation from hardware developer Tony Monero, AA2TX. He reports that at certain bad sun angles, the solar panels may not provide enough power to run the satellite, even though it's in full sunlight. AA2TX says that the power from the panels can actually drop to as low as 2.5 watts at really bad angles, but the satellite needs around 8 watts average to run in high power mode. This means that the satellite would have to draw current from the battery to run in high power mode, even though it's in the sun. This discharge would reduce the life of the battery, so to minimize the damage and prolong the life of the satellite, it will switch itself to low power mode under these conditions. Montero asks that he doesn't know for sure if this is what is happening, but this condition is within the predicted nominal operation of the satellite. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bruce Tennant, K6PZW in Los Angeles.
Meanwhile, Arisat 1 controllers have confirmed that the battery voltage of the satellite has been decreasing during eclipse at the faster rate than expected. Specifically, the battery voltage is getting lower with each eclipse period. Therefore, it's taking longer for the battery to charge up to 32.5 volts to allow the switch from low power to high power when the satellite enters an illumination period. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline. Heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the N3EVW repeater serving Scranton, Pennsylvania. In an announcement posted to its www.heathkit.com website, Heathkit Educational Systems, which is the current name for the company, states that in late August, the company will debut a new line of do-it-yourself kits for common around-the-house items. Now, don't look for any ham radio gear to be a top priority, even though the word on the street is that the kits for amateur radio market may be down the pike. Right now, the company is starting off with more general interest kits, and their first entry being a garage parking assistant, or GPA for short. The garage parking assistant kits let someone build their own system that uses ultrasonic sound to locate a car as it enters the garage. The system then signals to the driver using LED lights mounted on the wall when the car is detected and in a perfect spot for parking. Next on the market will be a wireless swimming pool monitor kit, followed by many more novel items. For those of you too young to remember, it was on March the 30th, 1992, that the then managers of Heathkit announced that after some 45 years, the company was closing out on its kits and leaving the business. In its heyday, Heathkits were products of the Heath Company of Benton Harbor, Michigan. Their build-it-yourself product line included everything from electronic test equipment to a high-fidelity home audio equipment, television receivers, and, of course, that famous amateur radio gear. It was the emergence and subsequent domination of the world electronic marketplace by Pacific Rim manufacturers who could produce and market completely assembled equipment at prices far less than Heathkit or anyone else could supply a do-it-yourself version that led to the demise of names like Ico, Peco, and, of course, Heathkit. So why has Heathkit decided to re-enter the kit market? Well, to hazard a guess, you have to remember that the current incarnation of Heathkit is an educational material supplier. As such, it's likely taken notice of the burgeoning maker and hacker community. This is an ever-expanding group of technology hobbyists worldwide that in recent years has grown into a multi-million dollar business opportunities for those smart enough to recognize it and that are willing to fill the void. These are the people that many believe will be the next generation of technology leaders and probably radio amateurs. The Heathkit announcement says nothing about the business rationale for going back into the kit supply business, but it does state that the company wants to bring to its customers interesting and unique products. As such, it's interested in learning what types of products that kit builders would like to see brought to the marketplace. Anyone interested can submit their suggestions by email, addressed to 2024 Hawthorne Avenue, St. Joseph, Michigan, 49085, or at www.heathkit.com. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at our editor's desk, I'm Jim Davis, W2JKD, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2011. All rights are reserved.
And as always, we say thanks to Newsline for the use of their copyright material. It's not too early to start planning now for next year's NZART conference, to be held at the Tahuna Conference Centre in Beach Road, Tahuna Nui, Nelson City, over Queen's Birthday weekend. That's the 1st to the 4th of June. Details on Nelson Conference 2012 are on page 42 of your July-August copy of Break-In. Airline bookings are also open for the conference period, so be in early and get those cheaper airfares. NZART Conference 2012 in Nelson. To Waro News and its greetings and welcome to Rosemary Boshes at L1RO.
Thanks, Jim, and hello, everyone. A quick reminder from Waro Treasurer Janet that the discount for prompt payment of subs runs out on the 31st of August. The Auckland Whales held their annual 2-metre powder puff contest recently, and as usual, the scores were determined on the night of the contest, and the winning whale was Marlene, ZL1MYL, with Marion, ZL1BLI, and Rosemary, ZL1RO, second equal. In the OM section, Ian, ZL1AOX, took first place, with Gary, ZL1WRG, second, and David, ZL1DK, third. A get-together for the presentation of the trophy will be held at some later date. At the Hamilton Market Day, a gathering of Waro, Wyols and friends met for morning tea. Waro President Margaret, ZL1MB, presented Lynette, ZL1LL, with the Myrtle Erland Rose Bowl, which had been awarded to her at the Waro AGM in June. These annual market days have become a popular social occasion for Wyols to get together. The Australian Wyols Alara HF contest is taking place this weekend, and there's still time to have a few contacts before it finishes tonight at 23:59 hours local time. Those of you who are thinking about going to the International YL Meet in South Australia next year need to be making some firm plans very soon. A deposit needs to be paid to the organiser by the 30th of September and the balance owing by the end of January 2012. And there are more details in the WIRO Bulletin or on the International YL Meet website. That's all from WIRO for this month, Jim. Good night, everyone.
Thanks, Rosemary. Reporting for WIRO, Rosemary Bosher, ZL1RO. Finally tonight, it's Branch News. Reporting from Christchurch, here's Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. Just one branch item tonight. So we start from Nelson Branch 26 in ZART, where the next meeting is on Wednesday, the 21st of September, at the Nelson Car Club Rooms in Bolt Road. Topsy ZL2LS and Sharon ZL2BQ will host the NAG Mystery Evening. And if you're in the south in September, don't forget EastFest on Saturday and Sunday the 10th and 11th of September. This will be held at the Ashburton Senior Centre, which is in Cameron Street in Ashburton. The event involves many talks and demonstrations of hands-on ham radio. Morning and afternoon refreshments will be provided, but you'll need to arrange lunch and evening meals. No registrations are involved, and for more information, contact Jim Nelson, email address jim.nelson@extra.co.nz, or alternatively Tony Buckland, email address buckland@scorch.co.nz. Well, that's all from me. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Stephen. The next issue of NZART's headquarters info line will be emailed next Sunday, the 4th of September. You can subscribe for your copy of this bulletin of news from NZART headquarters on the NZART webpage. That's at www.nzart.org.nz. The next official broadcast of NZART will be made by ZL6A at 8 p.m. on Sunday, the 25th of September. This is ZL6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, concluding the official broadcast for August 2011. Good night, everyone. Good night now.